superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. As promised in the new year, we are going to be with you every single week from now until the end of the NBA season. For the most part, we might take a week or two off, but we're back. It's content. It's Adam. It's TJ, the fellas. What's happening, boys?
What's going on, Chris?
Great.
Turn this mic on so then I can speak. What up, baby? What's up,
people
out there?
Let's restart.
We're back. Do you want to restart?
Yeah, might as well.
That was weird, yeah.
I kind of like that, though. You know, it's real. It's the realness of the Rich Eisen.
It is the
podcast.
Total realness. It's the first episode of the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. And there's a lot going on in the association.
Yeah.
We were gonna come to you last week when everyone was on the scoring binges. Luka with a 60-20 triple double. Spider went 71, which is unbelievable. It seemed like there was a 40 or 50 point night every single night in the league. It's calmed down a little bit, but we are at the halfway point of the NBA season. Boston, your number one team in the East, has played exactly 41 games, 29-12. Denver's played 20. They're 40. Excuse me. They're 27-13. As we look at the standings, guys, halfway through the season, are teams where you thought they'd be? Like, do you think it was Boston and Brooklyn and Milwaukee and Philly as the top four in the East? Was it Denver, Memphis, New Orleans, and Dallas in the West? Are things shaking out now that we're at the halfway point, as you thought, Adam?
Well, you know, Brooklyn was kind of left for dead at the start of the year. They looked very mediocre to not even making the playoffs potentially, and they've kind of come out of nowhere. They found their groove ever since they fired Steve Nash, and that's a dangerous team right there. So they're kind of unexpected. I mean, you still have two of the top 15 players in the league with Durant and Kyrie, but you never knew what the rest of the team was going to provide in terms of the injuries, in terms of Seth Curry coming back. But that team's legit now. So they're in the mix. The top four for the East, yeah, pretty much, I'd say, are expected. For the West, though, the Pelicans obviously were a question before the season in terms of, is Zion going to be healthy? That was the big question. You knew CJ would always be a solid player. But you didn't know what you were going to get out of Zion. So the Pelicans have been a surprise. The Warriors are completely underperforming right now. I predicted them to win the championship before the season started. Weirdly, I still think they will win the championship now.
Oh, really?
Even with their mediocre 20-21 record.
Oh, interesting.
But them not being in the top four is a surprise to me. And I'd say the Clippers also, TJ. The Clippers are not looking as good as I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be in the top two in the West, so that's kind of a surprise to me. So, yeah, that's kind of what I think right now.
Yeah, TJ, East, I think we all could have predicted what the top four in the East would look like at the halfway point, as Adam said, Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Boston. But the West, gosh, the West is going to be so, so fun, I think, in the second half of the year. And Denver, I think. Denver and Memphis are separating themselves, higher register. What do you think?
I'm kind of looking at what Adam just said about Golden State, and I wanted to check something. You know, Steph went down on the 14th, right?
Yeah, he played last night.
He played last night.
We're taping this on Wednesday.
So in the games that he missed, when you thought that if the wheels were going to fall off, it was going to happen when he was out, let me just make sure I got this right.
Were they 500? How many games
did
they miss?
Six. Two.
They were like
6-6. So
yeah,
they played 500 ball. They kept things afloat when Steph was gone, and now he's back again. I'm just gonna keep, much like with Tom Brady, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what the team's record is, when it counts and when the money's on the line, you're probably gonna put your faith in Tom Brady, right?
Sure.
Same thing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and this Golden State team. Yeah, they can, you know, they can mess around. They can juggle lineups. They can, you know, take some DNP coaches' decisions. But when we get to crunch time and when the playoffs are, you know, right there and it's time to really get busy, I don't think anyone in this room or anyone's really worried that the Warriors won't be able to, like, turn it up a notch. So I feel like, you know, their goal, a team like them, and also with the Clippers, I think is just to get to the playoffs healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not quite worry about where you're seated. And then you hope that you have your full rotation intact. You hope that your health is good. And then you start playing. I know Rich is like a big, he's really down on a lot of the NBA players who sit out back-to-backs and,
right,
you know, and I, to a certain extent, I get it. Look, I don't have kids, so I never use the, you know, families and kids are coming here to see you and this might be their one time. That just doesn't, it's not applicable to me, but I understand it. But I also understand that, like, you want to have your best players healthy when the playoffs come. So I can understand both sides of the argument. I can understand people who get mad about it, and I can also understand why the teams might be a little hesitant to put their stars out there for 82 games.
Yeah, just talking about that real quick, I think it's just there's so much more money involved now than even when Michael Jordan played. You know, that was Jordan's whole thing, right? Like, I never knew who's going to be seeing me for the first time, mm-hmm. so I want to put on a show. Like, dude played more 82-game seasons than any superstar, you know, we can remember in the last, you know, 30, 40 years. But there's so much money now involved, and these franchises are worth so much that, yeah, you got to protect your asset. It's asset protection. So, if Kawhi's not healthy enough to play more than twice a week, then so be it. That's how it's going to be. Because, you know, as we play the clip, the soundbite all the time, it's all about the Larry O'B. So you need these guys for the playoffs. You need them for the finals. You need them, you know, to ultimately win the top prize, which is that Larry O'Brien trophy. So, yeah, it sucks. You don't know who's going to be playing kind of game to game when you're dealing with some of these types of players. Other guys, you don't have to worry about it. You know Tatum's going to play every night. You know Luka's going to play every night.
Well, I didn't know Luka was going to play. That's the thing that kind of bothered me yesterday. I wanted to go see Luka play so bad, and he was questionable going into the game yesterday against the Clippers.
Oh.
So I decided not to buy a ticket. He decides to play, and he drops 40-plus. To say I was bitter would be an understatement. I wanted to go see him play.
Well, you can pay three. Risk it. You can pay three times the price you want to see them play the Lakers tomorrow.
I'm good on that.
But also, just about the Warriors, TJ, you know who's really starting to ball out is Klay Thompson, and I think that's one thing that we kind of had a question mark about coming into the season. Klay, you know, had a few moments in the playoffs last year, but it wasn't like Klay is back before the injuries. You know, he did miss 2 years, obviously, but Klay has been throwing up some big numbers, guys. Just look at his last five games, 29-31, the big 54 explosion against the Hawks, 30-29, you know, losing efforts the last two nights. But Klay is really picking up the slack. He's really starting to find that rhythm and that groove, and he's starting to look like the Klay Thompson that we know. So to your point,
it takes time to recover from stuff like that.
And to your point, like, Golden State, yeah, they're one game under 500, but if they're in the top eight, do you want to play them in a seven-game series? Yeah, absolutely not. So could they knock off Memphis? Could they knock off the Pelicans or whoever ends up being the three? If they're the six in a 6-3 matchup, are you going to pick against them?
No way in hell.
Yeah, no way.
No, absolutely not. That team has all the experience. They just need to be healthy. If they're healthy and Klay is the way he's starting to play, that team is very, very dangerous. And I think they're just kind of coasting for the rest of the season. Obviously, they need to play well enough to, you know, be in the playoffs. But I think they'll start to turn it up towards the last 10, 15 games of the season. And hopefully they'll be able to find a groove so they have their rhythm going into the playoffs.
But everyone's chasing Denver, right, in the West? Do we think they're the best team in the West, TJ?
They got one of the best players. I don't know if they're necessarily the best team. But
God, he's so good.
They're so good. He's just It's hard to explain, right? Because
it is hard to explain.
There's nothing flashy about what he does.
And he doesn't look like Giannis. He doesn't have rippling muscles.
No,
and he can't jump out of the gym.
But he does every single thing well.
His passing is insane.
Well, I shouldn't say defense. He's not necessarily a defender. But offensively, it's like this guy's amazing. And this team is interesting. You got to wonder, though, right? If Jamal Murray doesn't blow his knee out, where is this team? Because we're talking about another guy, right, who's now starting to come back like almost 2 years after his knee injury. You wonder, man, where would they be if that? Because remember Bubble Jamal?
Dude, he put up 50 amazing. Pieces all he was, over the place.
He was a problem. And bad so problem. You got to kind of wonder where they would be if the injury bug hadn't hit them.
And Michael Porter Jr.
Well, the thing about Michael Porter Jr. is he had the back issue right after high school through college. So you've never really got to see peak Michael Porter Jr. We don't really know how good he really could be just because he's never been fully healthy. He's shown some glimpses.
But
right?
that's a guy who can be the X factor for that team in the playoffs. Right. He's a guy who can score 30 points and be the leading scorer even ahead of Jokic or Murray in any given game. So I think he's the key. If he is healthy, that team definitely has a chance to come out of the West.
Yo, and Aaron Gordon has been awesome for this team. He's averaging 17. Bones has been awesome. But you just look at their roster. Like, they have so much depth. They have eight guys averaging double figures, seven guys averaging double figures.
I got to disagree, though. I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is the – I mean, looking at his stats, he's had 30 points one time in the last 2 months.
He missed a lot of time.
I don't know that that's the guy that you can go. He's the guy who's going to carry us when healthy.
Nobody can, though. I'm saying in any given game, he can score 30.
What gives you the impression that he can when the lights are on and it's big time? Like, what has he done to make you go to make that statement? I'm just curious. Like, what have you seen to make you go, that's the guy?
I'm pretty sure that he did that type of stuff in the bubble a couple of years ago, where he was scoring a bunch of points. Let me check.
I feel like he was good in the playoffs last year, too. But, yeah, I mean, look, I see your point. Flashy, all kinds. He's a great shooter, good outside shooter.
I don't know if I'd say, like, obviously this team is only going to go as far as Joker takes him, you know?
I don't know. That's been kind of the knock, though, right, on Denver the last few years?
Yeah,
Joker's been MVP back-to-back.
But they haven't done anything.
And they get bounced in the first round. And so I think that was McLovin's point last year of, you know, making the case for Embiid for MVP. It's like, look, are you really the MVP if your team loses in the first round? Regular season award, I get it. All the advanced stats point in his direction. I mean, look, could Joker win a third MVP? Sure. If they have the best record in the West and he's averaging a triple-double like he is right now.
Do you believe, though, that they will give him a third MVP? Because something tells me I can't see that happen.
I mean, Giannis had better stats.
Yeah, the year he didn't win, right?
Year.
And that was something I remember you consistently bringing up.
And by the way, bringing up Michael Porter Jr., in the bubble, he had games where he had 37 points, 30, 27, 28. So, yeah, he had some pretty big games there.
Oh, Michael Porter can for sure fill it up. I don't know if he's going to give you 30 every single night.
But I'm just saying he can,
superstars, but he can. Yeah, he's definitely an X factor for them. I'm just surprised that they're kind of leading the West right now, to be honest. I mean, I think coming into the season, we all thought it was going to be Memphis. We all thought Phoenix.
Well, I mean, they're tied with Memphis, so really it is.
That's what I mean. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm just surprised that Denver is kind of keeping pace. That's what I mean.
Well, I think the thing gets back to what we talked about earlier. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of DNPs on Denver either. Those guys seem to play.
Yeah, they're playing.
They're playing. They're not like the Clippers. Yeah. They're not sitting guys out. They're not dysfunctional like the Lakers, who are sitting at, 12th place right now. They haven't necessarily overachieved like the Jazz. They're, a perfectly fine team, and I just don't know that they're championship caliber.
And when you look at Memphis, though, they've had guys miss a lot of games. I mean, Jaws missed 7 games. Mm-hmm. Desmond Bane has missed half the season. Mm-hmm. Jaren Jackson has missed 16 games. A lot of their big players, guys who could fill it up and play a lot of different roles for them, are missing time, and they're still right there. Kind of going back to what we talked about last year about Memphis, TJ, is that they're a really good team.
Deep,
they
Chris.
They're deep, and they play really well with guys out.
Yeah, like Ja. Remember last year, Ja, they went I'm going to throw a number out here. It's
but it was something
wrong.
Like 19-4. Yeah, something like that. It was
ridiculous.
Number.
They were just as good without him as they were with him. Right. So that's a deep team. That's a well-coached team.
Yep.
And that's a team, man, that just you better bring your hard hat every time.
Yeah.
Because they're coming. And they're, you know, they're young. They're a little bit cocky.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe a little too cocky, like the Warriors will probably tell you.
Yeah.
But you know what, man? Memphis, they don't have any fear. And they're another team where, you know, you better bring it.
It's mad fun. Playing. I got to say, Adam, I love seeing new teams in the mix, especially in the West. You know, I love seeing Denver and Memphis, and we haven't even talked about the Pelicans yet, and Dallas finally being up. I mean, look, they're in a battle to maintain that four spot. Mm-hmm. They're only four games over 500. There's, you know, the difference between them and Utah at 10 is only three games. So there might be a lot of shakeup there in the West, but I like seeing these different teams. It's not just the Clippers and Suns and Warriors and Lakers and the
Kings. We have to talk about the Kings also.
And the Kings are one of those super
fun teams.
Of
the year. Yeah, you have De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. That's a fun young team right there. And those fans in Sacramento are some of the best fans in the entire NBA. And they have not had it good for really the last 20 years since the C-Web Mike Bibby days. And now that
Asia.
Team, yeah, they're finally starting to find their
20
groove.
Years? My goodness, really the time flies,
yeah,
man.
It's
holy
crazy
crap.
To think about. You know, they made one of the worst draft blunders in history recently, drafting Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic.
And Trae Young.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever get over that, but they have to figure it out somehow. And that team.
Hey, Adam, not to interrupt you, you can't. Like I say with Chris, with when it comes to Tatum or anyone that the Sixers miss, when you make a bonehead move like that, you cannot overcome it. That's just something you're stuck with for 15 to 20 years.
But the thing about the Kings is too is they're so fun. You probably can't name more than two people on that team. Like everyone knows Fox is on there.
Fox.
Oh, they made the Sabonis trade last year. But
Harrison Barnes.
Like who is their supporting cast? Oh yeah, Harrison Barnes, 15 a game. Kevin Herr, 16 a game, averaging what? A few threes
a
night.
Yeah,
Keegan Murray, nice rookie.
Malik Monk has been awesome. Like they're a team, they just fill it up. They're leading the league in scoring right now. They're a couple fractions ahead of Boston. Like they have been such a fun team to watch. It's like, oh, in fantasy, I need someone on that team because I know they fill it up. Oh, if I'm laying a little action tonight, oh, the Kings are playing? What's about the over? Like, it's just one of those things. They're so cool to just check in and see what's going on. Now, look, halfway through the season, great story, 21-18. They're in the playoffs. Can they keep it up for 82 games? We'll see.
Yeah.
But so far, yeah, they're definitely one of the feel-good stories of the year.
By the way, they have Matthew Dellavedova on that team, who
really?
I did not know he's been in the league for the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Delly's still there. Yeah.
Delly is on the Sacramento
Kings.
Does
he play?
Not really. I'm looking at his numbers right now. He's played 17 games, started zero, minutes per game, 6 minutes a game. So he's still on the team. But one of the classic amazing finals performances for a player you never would expect back in the day on the Cavs.
Yeah, right. Also, TJ, remember when we talked earlier in the year, like guys who didn't understand, teams that didn't understand the assignment?
I think you're going right where I was about to go once we were done with the Kings. You're about to get to the Jazz,
I'm
right?
About to get to the Jazz. So the Jazz are starting to understand the assignment. Like, as awesome as Lauri Markkanen is, I think, what do you have, like 29-16 last night? That dude has been unbelievable. I can't believe he's on stupid Rich's fantasy team. Like, and now the Jazz are in the 10th spot. They're 21-23. They're 8 games back. You know, the Lakers are only a half game behind them. The Thunder are a game and a half back. They're starting to understand what their mission is this year is get in the bottom four, have the best odds for Crown Vic. You know, look at San Antonio, look at Houston, look at Detroit, look at Charlotte, and just that's your goal. Get in the top four, have a shot at Crown Vic. Well done, Jazz. I salute you.
They're 4-7. They're yeah, they're 4-7 their last 11. I don't think this team is going to fold, though, man.
Like, I know. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
They have two good players. Yeah, like, Markkanen's
good.
Jordan Clarkson's too good.
I'm looking at their stats, and I'm like, they definitely overachieved. And that was my whole thing. Like, what are these guys doing? Yeah. But we always got to remember, as fans, sometimes we go, oh, this team's going to – they're going to tank, or this team's going to fold, or this team doesn't want to win. These are still – grown-ass professional men who are dogs who, like, they don't care about some kid playing in high school or college. Like, they're trying
to win.
French
travel team.
You know, we go back to football. Like, all the Jets had to do was lose, and you would have Trevor Lawrence on your team. And it's just like, they were like, no, I'm not losing.
For the Houston Texans, thank you, Lovey, for the Bears.
Yes, yeah. The Bears have the number one pick.
These guys just, they don't want to go out there and lose. And you, like I said, marketing, 25-9 a game, you know. Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton, Malik Beasley, Kelly Olynyk, who is another one of those guys. It's like, man, this guy just, he keeps hanging on, and he has a very productive NBA career. Like I said, Mike Conley running the show. Jared Vanderbilt is a guy who goes out there, you know, scores about 8 a game, but he gets you like 7-8 boards, blocks some shots, plays defense. Shout out to the Jazz for not folding is all I'm saying. Good for them, man. Because the writing was on the wall for them, and they were like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do that.
All right, since we're here, we're in the West. Let's just get it over with. We got to talk about the Lakers. They're 3 games under, 19-22, but they have won.
They're playing a little bit better lately,
won,
man.
Yeah, they have won 6 out of 10. They actually have been playing really well. They had won 5 in a row until they lost to the Nuggets the other night. They play the Mavs and Luka tomorrow. On Thursday on TNT. And, man, like, let's just be honest, dude. LeBron is freaking killing it, man. Mm-hmm. It's year 20. He's not out there every night. I know he's missed, you know, he's missed 9 games, but he's averaging 29-8-7. Like,
unbelievable.
It's just stupid. And then, like, some of the run that he's had lately, I mean, 37, 40. He had the back-to-back games of 43 and 47. Is it going to be enough though? Like, it is kind of LeBron's unbelievable out of this world year 20 season. Is it going to be enough to get the Lakers into the playoffs and win a playoff series?
Well, I think it just all depends on if Anthony Davis is healthy. That's everything. Because when that guy is healthy, you saw earlier in the season, he was tearing it up.
Yeah, he was crushing.
He'd score 35 points, 18 rebounds, 3 blocks, numbers like that. So he needs to be healthy. The problem with him is not reliable at all, him being healthy.
Right.
So without him, they're going to struggle to get in. I'm not a Laker fan at all. In fact, I don't like the Lakers, but I want to see them in the playoffs because you want to see LeBron in the playoffs. He doesn't have that many more years left in his career.
Yeah.
And every chance you have him to see him play in the playoffs is a great opportunity because he can score 50 points potentially in the playoffs. He can go off. He's fun to watch. He's an amazing player, one of the greatest of all time, obviously. So you want to see a guy like that at least reach it and see what he can do. But that team, they're just not it. Like, I could see them winning a couple games in the first round if they get in against like a Memphis or a Denver, but beyond the first round, I would be shocked if the Lakers made it past the first round.
But let's just say they're the 10. Let's say they get in and they're the last team in the play-in, right? Is that, you know, do they have one game in them to beat Phoenix? Can they beat the Clippers? What if it's Clippers-Lakers 7-10, TJ?
Well, statistically speaking, the Lakers have lost to the Clippers, I think, 8-9 games in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it hasn't even been a contest. So, yeah, I would say no. But again, like Adam said, if Anthony Davis is healthy and balling at the... By the way, did you see the injury, how he got hurt?
It was, like, so weird. He was, like, jumping.
He's in midair. Yeah. His foot hits... was it Joker's foot, or it was someone's foot?
Yeah, they were playing Denver,
and his foot just hits the other guy's leg, and his foot twists and snaps a bone in his foot. Like, that's just, you're just snake bit at that point, because I can't remember ever. I think the other weirdest injury that I've seen like that, I was trying to think, like, has there ever been something else that weird? I can't really think of anything. A guy just... Yeah. Remember Julius Randle when he was a rookie with the Lakers? His, like, I think first or second week, he went up for a dunk and actually kicked himself in his own leg and he broke his leg. Like, that's the only other thing that I think you can compare to, like, something so weird.
And it's too bad because obviously we've seen the talent. We know how good he is. Mm-hmm. Was he having an MVP season? He was in, balling. In the
He's starting to get into the groove, yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of a... Yeah, I'm not. Obviously, I'm no Laker fan, so it's like boohoo. But you know, it is kind of a shame.
I'm not a Laker fan, but I'm a fan of basketball. So,
yeah,
and I'm a fan of greatness.
And you want to see the best, right?
Yeah, and if this guy, who we all know, if he were healthy, it would change every discussion that we have about who is the best player in the league.
Yeah. You know? All right, let's go to the East real quick, and then we'll get out of Dodge for the week. Adam, what's up with the Bulls? 19-22. They're in that 10 spot in the play-in as well, but not the season you thought you'd be having.
I hate this team. I hate this team so much because last year we could not beat one good team throughout the regular season. Right. This year we end up beating
only good teams.
Right. This year we beat the Celtics twice, yep. Brooklyn twice, the Bucks, but we do not beat any bad teams.
Right.
I went to the Bulls game, my first game of the season over winter break, and we played the Houston Rockets, the worst team in the league.
And
of course we lose. We lose that game. My dad and I are there. We're having some barbecue. We're trying to enjoy a good time. No, they spoiled it for us.
Yeah.
And so this team is incredibly frustrating. We're going nowhere. I have to be completely real. Like, the problem with the NBA is if you don't have a top 10 to 15 player on your team, you just don't have a chance.
Or two. You need two of them, yeah, really.
You just don't have a chance. And as much as I believe Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are good players, they're just not good enough. And the problem with this team is at the best, at our ceiling, we're probably a first-round team that loses against the Celtics. That's the best-case scenario at this point. Mm-hmm. So if I'm Bulls management, if I was the GM of the Bulls right now, I trade DeMar DeRozan to a contender like the Dallas Mavericks or even the Clippers. Clippers would be a great fit for him. I trade Zach LaVine if it's possible. Not a lot of teams are going to want to take his $200 million plus contract when he has been playing well recently, but he's an injury. He's an injury risk. And I say we tank for Vic. I really believe that we should do that. This team is not doing it. We've traded a lot of good players. We didn't know that they'd be good at the time. Wendell Carter Jr., we traded him as part of the Vucevic trade. Yeah. He's better than Vucevic right now. And we had to give up a draft pick who ended up, I looked this up, the draft pick we gave up ended up being Franz Wagner, who was going to potentially be an all-star type of player at some point. So we messed that up big time. At the time, we didn't know that. Wendell Carter Jr., and then obviously Lauri Markkanen, another guy who's a fringe all-star. So we've just had bad luck with developing players and letting them leave, and I'm scared that's going to happen with Patrick Williams, who has been wildly inconsistent. I see the talent there. He's only 21 years old, but he just doesn't seem like he's the right fit. But I think if we traded DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, maybe Patrick Williams could shine and show what he really has to offer. So I think we trade those guys. I think we blow this team up, and we tank for Vic.
Problem is, tanking for Vic, I don't know if you're going to lose enough.
You're already
8 games behind Charlotte and Detroit and Houston. You're 9 games behind the Rockets, or 10 and 30. So,
what about Scoot? Tank for Scoot.
Yeah, I would say maybe tank for you know, one of those two guys. Maybe you package together something and move up. But
this team's just not going anywhere, though. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with Lonzo Ball. It's just a disaster. We're inconsistent. There's a couple good guys I like on the team. I like Ayo Dosunmu. I like the potential of Patrick Williams, but it's not it.
Yeah.
This team is not it.
You also remember, this isn't an NFL situation. Like, you don't have to have the worst record. You just have to have one of the worst records.
Yeah, if you have one of the four worst records, you have the same percentage chance of getting that.
Well, we actually, I believe we owe our draft pick. Our draft pick this year is a top four protected. So that's another reason to kind of tank.
Right.
Because if we don't get a top four pick, then we owe the...
Who does it go to?
I think it's Orlando again.
Oh, really?
We really got shafted in that deal.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, man. TJ, Sixers looking better, rounding into shape.
You know,
he scored .150 last night.
13-3 their last 16 games. You know, we went 6 weeks without Maxi, and that was tough. But he's back, and he's back to balling. I'm really liking this Sixers squad. Again, though, it all comes down to the health of the big man. Because quite frankly, the Joel Embiid kind of disrespect is kind of strange to me when it comes to MVP. Because I was looking at a list the other day, and they were listing like Tatum and Luka and Joker and Giannis, and there was no mention of Embiid. And it's just kind of weird to me, because this guy has proven that, like, when he's on his game and all things are just firing, how do you defend Joel Embiid? How do you stop him? He's almost unstoppable. And the way he's been balling, you know, 34 points a game, 10 boards, you know, he's even dropping almost four and a half assists a game, man. And this guy, if he stays healthy, and like, we all know that's a big if with anything, But this team can go far as long as he can avoid all those little weird injuries that, you know, keep coming to him, you know, like a broken face, you know, when he's catching an elbow, or a, you know, a bad hamstring or a quad, or, you know, or his finger, you know, so who knows? But man, if he can stay healthy, this team could go places.
Yeah, just looking at the MVP odds right now, it's Luka is now your favorite. Luka's jumped Tatum and Giannis and Joker. Joker's second, Giannis third, Tatum fourth, and then there's kind of a big drop off. So like those top four guys are all 4-1 or better.
So how is Embiid not in the mix for this? Yeah. I don't understand.
I agree.
And then Embiid jumps up to 12-1.
Well, Embiid hasn't played as many games, maybe. Is that the reason?
He's played 29 games out of
40.
40.
29 out of 40. That's totally fine. Giannis has played 34. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't think there's ever been a closer MVP race with the top four guys in league history. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, especially this, you know, halfway through the year, usually there's like one guy who's kind of the clear-cut favorite and then a couple of guys kind of still in the mix. But you know, you got top four guys who are basically the same odds.
Yeah, and even you have a player like, he won't win MVP, but you look at the stats of Ja Morant, for example. Ja Morant's averaging 27 points and 8 assists a game.
Well, the thing about the league is now, I mean, you've seen, they're doing kind of some stories about it, but scoring is just out of control. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got 8 guys averaging over 29, you know, 5 over 30. You know, LeBron, KD, and Mitchell are all in that 29-point whatever range, and then Luke is at 34, Embiid's a hair under 34, Giannis a hair under 32. It's just like, it's out of control. Like every single night, like we said, there's just somebody going off. And more than often than not, it's one of the superstars, which is great. I love seeing, you know, it's kind of weird when a random person gets 50 points, but I want to see superstars go off. And we've really seen it this year. I don't know why Embiid's not really in the mix, TJ. Why is it, do you think, that he's not there?
I mean, are we at the point with Embiid almost like we are with Giannis, where you see, you know, this guy putting up 35 and 14, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, but have then, we gotten to the point where we just expect?
Yeah, but then Giannis is right there in the MVP. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the same odds as Luka and Joker and Tatum.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I can't explain it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe because Philly's only in the fourth slot. It's kind of strange.
I mean, we got a better record than Dallas.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so explain that to me. They're the top two scorers in the
Luka
league.
Well, Luka is kind of a one-man team, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing out possibilities. But, yeah, it's interesting. Then let's just say, like, halfway through the season, Adam, who's your MVP?
You got to go Jason Tatum. He's never won the MVP before. He's averaging 30 points, 8 rebounds. The guy is the leader of the team that has the best record in the league. He is an incredible talent, top 5 player in the league. He also has a great supporting cast with Jaylen Brown, so you can't count that all out also. But to me, Jason Tatum has taken another leap, and he's the MVP.
I mean, obviously, I like hearing that. TJ, what do you think?
I mean, I picked Tatum preseason to win the MVP, and, you know, I'll stick with that pick right now.
What about you?
I love Tatum, obviously. I don't want to be a homer pick. I weirdly think it's Kevin Durant kind of right now. Even though he's not in the mix either, TJ.
He's going to be out for about 4 weeks now. So
yeah, that's true. I think to this point, though, it's been him. Just the way Brooklyn was able to kind of keep it together and turn things, because it really looked like their season was going to be an epic disaster with the Kyrie stuff. And, you know, Durant just balled out, and they went on a hot winning streak. What were they, 11 and 12? They were 10 and 11 or something like that. They were under 500 and then rattled off, you know, a massive winning streak. And he does it just so, it's in a weird way, it's like LeBron or Steph Curry. You just expect it. Yeah, I expect Kevin Durant to score 30 and have 8 and, you know, 5 assists every night. But he's been remarkable. But Joker too, man.
Dude's balling. There's a lot of ballers in this league, man.
MVP race is going to be impossible.
I feel like, so I have Tatum as my MVP, but in terms of like having the most magical season and having the most incredible games, it's Luka to me. Because some of these games he's had are just so ridiculous.
Look, a 60 and 20 is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, it's never before. It's one of the top 15 regular season games in NBA history.
I mean, when you're talking about the last person to do something and it's Wilt, Like, you're in kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah. Well, so somebody put up an interesting thing on social media, just looking back at some of Harden's box scores with Houston.
He had some 50-point
and
trip
it was
dubs.
Just like, yo, did we sleep on this? Like,
I did. I was always pounding the table for James Harden.
In your defense, you have always been a
like
James
Russell
Harden
Russell Westbrook's guy. MVP season, we're going to look back. You know, like I said, when we look back on the Oscars and you're like, oh, that doesn't age well. Russell Westbrook's like, oh, he got a triple-double. You're the MVP. That was such horse crap that he won MVP that year. James Harden got absolutely robbed.
James Harden had some years in there where he probably should have had three MVPs.
He should have had three in a row, but it's like one of those things. You know?
So it is kind of weird where you look at these Luka stats and people are like, oh, this has never been done before. Well, all right, maybe not 60-20, but how about 58-17? Like, it's been close, you know?
Yeah, no. Look, I mean, I love Luka. He's so fun to watch. But he's in the Harden range of like, oh, he's going to dribble for 20 seconds and take a step back, or dribble for 20 seconds and then pass to a guy in a corner. Can they make the three? You know, Dallas doesn't really have that much help around him, you know, all due respect. And so it's like when you talk about Dallas, it's how far are they going to go? Well, they're going to go as far as 77 takes them, you know.
We'll
he owns Phoenix. It's like, can they play them in the first round again? I don't know. I like Luka as MVP. I mean, he's kind of been the favorite every year coming into the season, and maybe now he can finally get one. I like the kid. I think
we all like him.
MVP race is going to be wild this year. It's going to be one of those things, like, it comes down to the last day. Remember, was it like 20-something years ago where David Robinson needed like 70 to win the scoring title, and then he got it?
I think
MVP is going to be something like that this year, where it's going to come down to that last week of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And
you might be right.
As much as a great season that Jokic is having, I just don't see the NBA giving him the MVP three straight times. So he's had a special season. I just think he's probably eliminated from that, though. Because remember, like, back in the day when, like, Michael Jordan should have got the MVP in, I believe it was 1997, and they just gave it to Karl Malone just because Jordan had won too many MVPs already. So I still think that there's that type of bias where they just won't let a guy win three
straight. Also, LeBron has, what, five MVPs? Probably could have like eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if the Lakers weren't so crap, like, he could be MVP this year. LeBron's stats are incredible for how old he is. And
I guess
he's
got four.
Okay. A halfway point, real quick. NBA Finals preview. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Milwaukee and Golden State.
Bucks can't stay healthy. TJ?
Man, this is kind of early for this.
I know, it's a halfway point. We're just kind of like going to check our work.
I'm going to say I'm just throwing this out there.
Memphis
Grizzlies.
Do it.
Against the Boston Celtics.
Oh, I thought you were going to homer pick.
Well, I mean, that you would expect me to do that, so I didn't want to do it.
You still think the Warriors are going to be there, huh?
I do. I was consistent with that team last year. I believe that they were going to.
By the way, I take that back. I don't think the Grizzlies can beat the Warriors.
Really? Man, I was gonna.
I kind of get what Adam's saying. Like I said to start with, as long as Golden State can like not have anyone's body parts fall off their body, they're gonna be there at the end.
But I'll
keep with that pick until.
Weird magical stuff is going on with Denver. I'm gonna say Boston, Denver. And it's going to be like the least watched NBA Finals of all time.
Yeah, but that would be a fun series to watch.
I think that'd be super fun. Yeah. The two styles, too, really, really would make for an awesome series. But let's let the world really get introduced to Denver basketball. Who knows? All right, everybody, that's it. We're done. Great talking to you guys this week. We're going to be back next week. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. TJ, Adam.
Peace.
I'm Chris. Peace out.
Later.